Oh, hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
This is Mike and Stephanie.
Oh, thank you for introducing me, Mike. I didn't have to do it.
I thought you were going to be Stephanie and Mike.
See, like we always say, Mike does all the work on the podcast and I do all the talking. But in that case, he did all the work and the talking.
Oh, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap.
Oh, all right. Go ahead. I'll take over the show. So what are we talking about tonight, Mike?
So far, nothing.
All right. Well, what are we doing? I guess we're sitting here on the Pork Therapy love seat.
Oh God, we haven't even. Did we even say Pork Therapy?
Oh,
thanks
gosh.
For listening to the Pork Therapy
oh,
tonight.
Please, can we start over? I actually think we did say welcome to Pork Therapy. Right. So, and if they don't know by now, then you know they're not really with the program.
Well,
they need to get
we'd
their
hope
act
that
together.
New people are tuning in, and for all you new people, we are two people who think we know stuff, and so we talk.
That sounds about right.
But our official slogan is. Relationship advice.
From liberty perspective.
Right.
Yes. And we used to say communication is key in all relationships, and
I suppose
that's still true, but we got sick of that slogan,
yeah.
So we decided to change things up a little bit. So, but that's what we do. We give relationship advice from a liberty perspective. And in fact, Mike, we have just confirmed that we're going to be live giving you relationship advice from a liberty perspective and from a liberty event. And what would that be?
Pork Fest in June. Porcupine Freedom Festival.
Now, when you say Pork Fest to somebody who's never heard Pork Fest before, they usually, first they think it's a porn site, which it probably is. I haven't checked. If you spell it wrong, it might be. I'm not trying to...
Yeah, Pork Therapy is with a C, and so is Pork Fest for
yes,
porcupine.
Yes, good to mention.
And it's not porcupine porn either.
I can't even really imagine how you would make porcupine porn.
I did learn that male porcupines pee on the females to weaken their quills before having sex with them. But that's
Aren't
not
you
what
kidding?
No, I'm serious. But that's not what the site is about.
Really?
They pee on the... So porcupines are actually into water sports.
They
like
are.
We talked about last
they
episode.
Are. You know, as long as they're both voluntarily
oh
doing
God.
It, then it's cool.
You know, there are some weird sexual things in nature. You know, like there was some scientist a few years ago who reported on like these necrophiliac ducks or something.
Whoa!
You remember that?
He got the
Ig Nobel Prize, but... That's the reason how I knew about it.
Big necrophilia prize.
Oh, all right. I think we should move on now.
Well, it's been about 3 minutes and we haven't started yet, so let's probably start.
We usually waste about 20 minutes. So what was our question tonight?
So some people are often or always late, and is that rude or is that just a personality trait or something else?
Well, that's a good question. I guess the question asker didn't really elaborate on this, but it seems
as
like... As is often the case, those nebulous question askers.
No, I gotta get off my ass and make a Skype or a VoIP call-in line so people can record their questions or so we can converse with them and get clarification during
for
a show.
Definitely. I think that'll take the show from bad to slightly better.
During Pork Fest or whenever we have a live audience, it's much better because we can ask for clarification and we get feedback.
Absolutely. But few are brave enough to be guest hosts.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a guest host, you should just email us at...
Questions@porktherapy.com.
Oh, thank you, Mike. once again, you took the words right out of my mouth. That's good. Okay, so lateness. Is it rude? Is it just a personality trait?
And I guess... They aren't mutually exclusive. Maybe it's a personality trait that can be considered.
And it's rude.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking.
Well,
Someone is late on a regular basis, it seems to me that they have a low, they don't value very highly other people's time. Because they have set their life up so that they don't have to be, you know, they don't care if they're somewhere when they say they will be at a certain time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine with that because things fall together and things work and whatever. But the people they're making plans with may not be that way. They may have a schedule and they say, oh, you want to meet me at 4? I will meet you at 4. And then when you're a half hour late, they have a half hour less to spend with you instead of staying a half hour later because they've got other plans or they've got other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me someone who's always late isn't very considerate of other people's times, but I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I think that is a good way to describe it. I mean, this is obviously, we're talking about someone who's a chronic offender.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, you know, if every time we make plans to meet up together, Mike, and you're on time, and then one time out of 10 you're late, well, that's not really a big deal, right? Or maybe you had an emergency come up, and I really believe it was an emergency. But if you are late every time, and then, you know, maybe you have excuses every time, but you're still late. It doesn't change the fact. And when it becomes a chronic problem, then the excuses start becoming meaningless because you know, they're bullshit, right?
Right. I mean, even if they are real excuses, I mean, legitimate, like, every single time when you're about to meet someone for lunch at 4, your house floods and you're trapped. It's still, every single time, that's just a little odd.
Yeah, that's just a little
odd. I do know someone who's very flaky. I don't know really about being late, but sometimes they don't show at all. And they always have an excuse. But that after a while, I just stop believing the excuses because it seems unlikely that they're always, there's always a legitimate excuse.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, if indeed you're talking about the same person who I think you're talking about.
She is pretty cute.
Oh, God. There are only a few cute girls that is could be. If indeed you are talking about this person, I think that, in fairness, I don't think she's late. I think usually she just doesn't show up when she said she would. But
okay, so that's a different episode.
So maybe that's a different issue, but yeah, I mean, I do agree with you, Mike, that being late or maybe saying that you'll be somewhere when you're not shows that you're not too considerate of other people's time. Or maybe that you don't know how to say no. Maybe that you're overcommitting yourself.
Okay, we did talk about no in a very recent episode. Well, by the time you hear this, it would have been like 5 or 6 episodes ago. But yeah, that is a possibility. If you don't know how to say no or even an altered version of no, like I can't be there then, I'll be there at this time instead.
Right.
If that's too confrontational for you and you don't say anything and you end up being late, then the other person's wasting their time.
Right. And they're going to be mad at you in the end. Like, you might say, oh, yeah, sure, I'll be there at this time, or I'll be there at some point, right? But then when you don't show, like, you might look good right then when you say yes, but then when you actually don't end up showing up, you look bad.
Yeah.
And so eventually it's going to come back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah, so then you've got two things against you, really. You're chronically late. And
you're a liar.
And you're a liar. Or not necessarily a liar, but undependable. Your word is undependable.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, I think maybe that ties into, like, strategies to deal with people who are always late. What do you think about that, Mike? Because if you experience someone who's chronically and always, always late, then eventually you're not going to, maybe you're not going to invite them to things where it's time sensitive, or maybe you're not going to ask them to meet you at certain times. They'll just say, oh yeah, well, show up whenever you feel like it. Right?
Or, hell, more attractive to me is just to stop dealing with that person or deal with them less.
Right.
Or deal with them less when time is an issue.
Yeah.
Like anything that has a start and a stop, like a movie that you're going to see together or whatever. I just stop doing that with this person.
Right.
And instead do things that time wasn't an issue. Like, I'm not doing anything at all Sunday, so if you want to do lunch, hey, show up whenever. Meanwhile, I'll just go about my day.
Yeah, exactly.
But the first thing that comes to mind with strategies is to allow for lateness. Like, if you're not the late person and you're trying to deal with them, the first thing that comes to mind is, well, this person's always 30 minutes late, so I'll just tell them 30 minutes in advance. You know, tell them the time starts 30 minutes early. Or I will show up someplace 30 minutes late myself. Mm-hmm. And both of those seem pretty crappy to me.
Yeah, I actually knew someone who was planning a wedding. And, like, they had a family member who was chronically late. And so they actually made a separate invitation and sent it to the family member that said the starting time was like an hour or 2 hours earlier than it actually started. So the family member would show up on time, and it worked. They showed up exactly on time.
I'm surprised because you'd think that with something as important as a wedding, or even, you know, not important, people are going to be talking, people are going to try and carpool, people are going to say, yeah, I'll see you there at 10. 10? I'm going to be there at 11. What are you talking about?
Right.
I guess it worked in that case.
Yeah, I think that strategy of, like, printing up two sets of invitations is a little less direct than I would
like. It's a little
like.
Passive-aggressive,
yeah, it's
because instead of saying, please don't be late for my wedding, this is important to me, you're just kind of tricking, you're trying to trick them.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think that's a good way of addressing the real issue.
No, it's not addressing anything, really. It's trying to work around it. It may backfire on you.
Yeah, exactly. And what if they do show up at 2 o'clock when the wedding doesn't start until 3 o'clock, right? Then you have some explaining to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, why did my invitation say 2 and everybody else has said 3? Well, then you have to sort of
then you'll tell them anyway,
out.
Yeah. Well, because you're always late and undependable.
Right. So I guess we're starting out by talking about strategies if you're dealing with a person who's always late.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I think we should get into, if you are the late person, what can you do to improve your lateness? Or should you try to improve your lateness, right?
Yeah, should is a good question because maybe it works for your life.
Right.
Maybe that's the lifestyle and the personality. In fact, is it a personality trait? Is it ingrained in who you are? Or is it just, you know, the way you're behaving? Well, I guess, are those even different?
I think a personality trait is different than a behavior. But can we actually come back to what we were talking about before, which was how you strategies
sure.
to deal with a layperson?
Okay.
Because I had another thought on
yeah.
that. Another thought for me personally to deal with lay people is that, like, I don't want to sound, I don't know, conceited or whatever, but in general, I'm a pretty busy person. I have a lot of things going on and a lot of projects that I'm working on.
So important.
I'm not saying they're any more important than yours or anything like that, but you know, I do keep myself busy and real active, and or at least I try to. And when I'm dealing with a person who might be late, I usually don't even really notice that much because I always have something else that I could be doing to fill that time. Like, for instance, if I'm meeting someone somewhere and they're supposed to show up at a certain time and they don't show up at that time, well, okay, I'll pull out my phone and I'll start, you know, responding to some emails, or I'll pull out my computer and I'll start doing some work.
Well, technology helps that because with a smartphone, you can do a lot of everyday life stuff pretty much anywhere.
Right.
But not everything.
Or bring a book. I mean, so that you're prepared for being able to use that time productively that you might not have. If you're just standing around waiting for that person, you wouldn't be able to do anything productive.
That's probably a good rule for life in general is be prepared and kind of like train yourself to be able to take advantage of empty time for whatever reason.
Right.
But it seems like it's the opposite of what should happen. Someone else is wasting your time, so you should prepare to use it better. That just seems wrong to me.
Well, life's not fair, right?
That's
true. You got to roll with the punches,
that's
and you've got to handle whatever happens.
But like I said, if some act of nature causes lateness, that's life's not fair. Mm-hmm. But if someone's continually late on you, it's not uncontrollable. They could change their attitude or their behavior or whatever, or you could change how you interact with that person. I guess
if that works for you,
if you don't mind that they're always late because you have your smartphone and you can do stuff, then really you don't really have to deal with them in person. You just have to be able to be prepared to spend your time.
Well, I agree with you, Mike, and I think that, you know, the strategy of being prepared with something else to do is just one tactic to deal with late people. And there are other ones too, like, as you said, you know, either cutting that person out of your life or just not interacting with them on a regular basis, or minimizing the time that you that you make plans to meet them at a certain time when they'll possibly be late. Or you could really just try to have a heart-to-heart with them about it, right? Just bring up the issue with them and say, hey, you know, how would you say it to a lay person? What would you say if I was always late and you were confronting me about it?
I would say, look, every time, you know, we plan to get together, I go to your house and wait for an hour before we start, or you're an hour late before, you know, you get to where we say we're going to meet, and that's a waste of my time, and I don't appreciate it, or something like that, just something simple. I guess that's even too elaborate. Look, you're very often late, and it's wasting my time, I don't appreciate it. How's that?
Yeah, I like that approach. I think I would say something kind of similar. I would say, hey, you know, I notice, like, when we make plans to get together, sometimes you don't show up when you say you do, even though I'm there at the time that I say. And that makes me feel kind of bad. It makes me feel like you don't respect me or you don't value my time.
Yeah,
I think if you, you know, not that you're excusing their late behavior, but if you tell them how it makes you feel or how you feel when they do something like that, then they might say, oh, well, I didn't even realize that you had a problem with that. Next time I'll call you if I'm going to be late, or next time I won't be late.
I think it's a great idea to get that out right away or at any time, because that means that if this person is continually late after that, they intentionally know it's making you feel bad and they're doing it. And then you can address that or deal with that. And that's much more straightforward than just someone who's late. That's someone who's late intentionally hurting you. If you tell them that and they're still late, it may be accidental, but they don't care enough about hurting you to change their behavior.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And that's probably someone who, through circumstances of life, you're sort of forced, not really forced to interact, but maybe it's someone that you're a coworker with or a colleague with, or maybe it's not someone you necessarily choose to interact with.
Yeah.
Like a friend, as you would with a friend, right?
I don't understand.
Well, if you're in a situation where you have to have a meeting every week with person,
a colleague or something,
right? It's not like it's your friend and you're meeting them for lunch every week. It's like it's your boss or it's your colleague in another department, and you have to catch up about what's going on. And, you know, so in that case, it could be frustrating because you know, they don't really have much of a relationship with you beyond that you're colleagues. And so if you say to them, hey, it hurts my feelings when it's hurtful when you're late, they might not care. Right?
But if you're in a forced, I'll say forced relationship. I don't mean forced negatively.
It's really not forced.
But I don't mean that negatively. If you're in a relationship that it's kind of like a secondary relationship, you're in a relationship with work. And because of that, you have to be in a relationship with this person who's always late.
Yeah.
So my point is, there's an environment around that that's forcing you to be in this relationship. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could talk to your boss or their boss and arrange to work with a different person, or arrange for them to deal with this person's lateness, or arrange for the meeting to be held at a different time so that they're not late or something. There's resources there because it's not just you and this person.
Or you could invoke the professional relationship you have with them. And instead of saying, oh, it hurts my feelings when you're late, you could say, oh, you know, I think it would be a lot more productive if we started this meeting at 12 o'clock as we planned to, instead of at 12:10 when everybody shows up.
Right.
Right.
Sure. I mean, that works too.
Yeah. Okay. So
and then maybe you just use the same tactic instead of, and somehow put the onus on them, somehow make them aware that their being late is not a practice they want to continue. And so if they do continue, the onus is on them. So somehow say, well, we're having this weekly meeting, and however, if we start at 12:10 instead of 12, we don't have enough time to finish, so we're going to have two weekly meetings if we don't get here on time. That means the person who's causing us not to be on time, or people, they realize right then that if they continually be late, they're going to cause stress, or problems, or longer meetings, or whatever, more meetings.
Yeah, or, you know, something I just thought of was, you know, you could even bring it up in sort of a less confrontational way by making it into almost a joke, by saying like, oh, you know, you're 10 minutes late to this meeting. You must have been working really hard on whatever you were doing, or you must have been, doing a killer project or reading some very important.
I'm going to say I don't like that suggestion because it sounds very passive aggressive. But then I'm going to follow that up with I don't like my last suggestion either because
it sounds kind of confrontational.
Yeah. It sounds very forward and confrontational instead of productive.
I didn't really mean it to sound passive aggressive the way I said it. It was sort of just I was trying to think of a way that you could.
It would be better to be light.
Make a joke without having the details of the situation, you know.
But if all you're doing is making a joke and hoping they pick up the hint, that sounds passive aggressive to me. If you're making a joke but also explicitly saying, I don't appreciate it, or it's not professional, or whatever, something direct and straightforward, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the tactic I would take is maybe make a joke about it once, and if they don't change their behavior, then bring it up in a more direct way.
Okay.
I don't know, what do you think about that?
That's one way, that's a tactic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, these are all just tactics, you know, some of them may work and some of them may not.
Yeah.
It's hard to get someone else to change their behavior unless they're really motivated to.
That's absolutely right.
And so I guess your job is to motivate them.
In fact, it's impossible.
All
you can do is motivate them and incentivize them.
Mm-hmm. So none of these have like clear-cut answers, right? But
pretty much none of our questions do anyway.
And they're incredibly vague.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about what if you are the late person? And you feel remorseful about it? How do you change your behavior?
Nah, I can't relate, so I'm done.
Actually, you can't relate. You can't be late either. Actually, listeners. To be fair, like, Mike probably really can't relate to this question because he's always on time.
I'm sometimes late.
No, Mike,
infrequently.
You actually are very, very punctual
But it doesn't mean I can't relate. But let's start with you.
Well, have you ever been late in your life?
Absolutely.
I mean, have you ever had a period of time where you were chronically
late? No, never. Okay. I hate being late because, I don't know, I guess two reasons. One, I just like to get things done. And if I've made plans, that means I want to be there, and I want to do them, and I want to get it done.
Right.
Hell, even if there's been times where I absolutely hated my job, and I would show up and be near comatose doing the minimum amount of work possible, but I'd still get there on time.
Wow, so that was a real intrinsic self-motivation that you
I guess. Which is rare for me.
You just really dislike being late, and so
And then the other reason is because I think it's offensive. I think it means I don't value the other person's time, or them, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get that across.
So you're motivated by a desire not to offend other people or not to come across as disrespecting them by being late?
Yes. If I respect them, then I don't want to disrespect them by wasting their time. I mean, I guess if I really didn't like someone and made plans with them, I wouldn't mind being late, but I don't remember ever having done that.
Well, but there must be something else about being late, because you just said that in the job that you didn't like and didn't care about, really, like, you still showed up on time.
You know what? Maybe it's just a matter of integrity. I said I'd do something, so I'll do it. And for that matter, when I absolutely hated the job, but it wasn't appropriate for me to quit then, I went and did the minimum amount I said I'd do, but I didn't, I wasn't motivated to...
To do extra.
Yeah, to do extra, to go the extra mile, to do more, to stay late, to... I can't think of the word right now, but to be creative and do extra.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Innovate.
Innovate. I was not innovative.
We're great at finishing each other's sentences. We think of innovative ways to finish them. Usually it ends with a cock joke or something. But well, okay, I can sort of relate.
Venus.
That wasn't that funny. Well, okay, I mean, if you are a layperson, I think... And you are, and you have a desire to change your behavior, either because somebody has, like, confronted you about it, or you feel worried that you're hurting other people's feelings or making them feel bad or wasting their time or whatever, then I think there are a couple of strategies that you could use. I mean, one is that if you're motivated to change your behavior, that's sort of the first step, right?
Yeah, I think pre that step is what you just said. You have to want to change your behavior, the desire.
Right.
Maybe that
comes from seeing that you hurt someone by being late, or seeing that you piss someone off,
or losing a friend over it, or
losing a friend, or losing a job opportunity,
I know a lot of people who are chronically late, who have lost opportunities and lost friends and lost jobs,
and they don't care.
Yeah, and that's just part of their life. You know, hell, they lose their belongings. That's not related.
How did they lose their belongings by being late?
No, not by being late, but they're, you know, I've known people, I guess it's unrelated, so never mind.
Wait, now I want to know.
Well, it's just so cluttered and so much stuff, like they think that, like, they know they used to own, I don't know, a dog leash or something, and they have this big pile of stuff in their living room.
They know they used to own a dog, and now they can't find it.
And now all they have is this weird skeleton.
Oh, God. You know, as an aside, I had a friend a long time ago who had a little white dog, and it was so cute, and it would just kind of run around the house. And one day there was a big snowstorm. This was in the Northeast. And so about 2 feet of snow piled up, and they could not find this dog anywhere. And they couldn't find it for about a week. And then one day they went outside. The snow had started to melt a little bit, and they saw this dog, like, hopping around in the snow. And I guess it had lost in the snow because it was white and it was blending in with the snow.
For a week it survived buried in snow?
I guess it had a thick fur coat.
Oh my, and what would it eat? Holy moly.
I don't know what it ate. I'm sure, I guess it must have found something, but, I mean, I guess it had plenty of water to drink, hell, right? It just licks the snow.
Jeez.
I would have thought they could follow the trail of yellow on the white snow and find the dog, but... But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, just slightly.
Yeah, just slightly.
So, what can you do if you're a late person? First, you need the desire to change.
If you have the desire to change, then that's the first step. I guess one is to leave ridiculously early. Like, leave earlier than you think. Like, plan to get there about 15 minutes early.
Or 30 or 45, however late you are. Yeah. Because that's probably right, because I've known some people who are chronically late, and they leave at a reasonable time.
Right.
And then they get distracted
but
and do this
slow,
and add that,
right.
And they're slow, and then they get distracted and go here first, and then they end up doing 10 things while they're on their way to that other, and they're late.
Oh,
so
yeah,
just
absolutely.
Leaving early would be a good one.
Yeah, like, always build in some buffer time. You know, it never really hurts to be early, but it can hurt to be late, I suppose. What about checking in with yourself? Like, if you know that you have a problem with being late, I think one of the helpful things to do is actually say, okay, I'm making note of this time that I left, and I'm making note of the time when I arrived, and next time I have to do this trip, did I leave myself enough time to get there? I think that's useful for, like, a commute for work, right?
That could be useful, but that sounds complex and, like, a lot of work to
do. Well, no, it's just, you're just making a mental note, right? Like, if you think your commute is 15 minutes.
Check it. Oh, I see.
And then, like, you say, okay, so I have to be at work by 8 o'clock. If I leave at 7:45, I should be fine. But then you didn't account for the time it takes to find a parking spot and walk into the building or whatever, and you feel like you're always a few minutes late, well, then you can say, okay, well, I'm going to leave the house at 7:30 or 7:40 instead of 7:45.
So could I generalize that one by just saying, learn what it is that makes you late? Like, you might think, well, I'm 15 minutes late to work, I'll leave 15 minutes early. But you're not, like you said, you're not taking into account it takes extra time to park.
Right.
And you have to walk from there to the building, and you have to turn in your keys or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Yeah, sort of. No, I think what you said, Mike, is along the same lines. It's just sort of like giving yourself a reality check and like being conscious and being aware of of what time it is and what time you need to be where you are and how you're going to get to where you're going by the time you said you'd be there.
So, yeah, I suppose if you made it a habit for yourself to just, like, every many times per hour, two or three times per hour, just say, okay, what time is it now, and how many minutes left until I have my next thing, whatever it is, then you would kind of be in the habit of not forgetting about time.
Or, hell, maybe, like, you can set an alarm or something. You know, if you know you're going to be distracted,
yeah.
And you know that you have a really important appointment and you have to be there at a certain time. Like, for instance, I have a story.
Does it involve a cock?
It does, actually. There was one time where...
That doesn't really...
It does! I'm not going to mention whose cock, but it was a cock. There was one time where, without really going into specifics, I had promised someone that I would do something...
Blow them at a certain time.
No. I had promised someone that I would do a totally non-sexual favor for them, like a totally... You know, just a platonic favor. And I said, and in order to do that favor, I had to show up at a certain time. Well, I was with someone, and it was like a romantic time, and I got a little distracted. And I missed the time when I had to leave in order to get there and do the favor for my friend. And I felt really bad about it when I finally noticed the time. But, you know, at the time I was distracted and I wasn't looking at what time it was. And so, I just wasn't cognizant of that, and if I had been sort of keeping an eye on the clock, then I would have been able to fulfill my commitment to my friend, and I felt really bad about that. And so I just said, okay, I'm not going to let that happen again. If I need to be there somewhere at a certain time, then I need to plan when I'm going to leave and actually leave at that time.
Yeah.
And when I'm going to what?
And when I'm going to suck a cock. Or whatever it is you were doing. But
No comment.
You did mention setting alarms, and that's another way technology can help. If you have a smartphone again, and I do this, not to be late, but just to not forget things, I set alarms for anything that is not so exciting that I'd remembered automatically.
Yeah,
so if I have
do too.
To,
I just have alerts
you know, if
on
I have
calendar.
A letter I want to mail and I have to drop it in the mailbox down the street by 2 p.m., I'll put in a little alarm in there. So I will obviously forget to do that unless something beeps at me and tells me.
Yeah.
So maybe you could do that for things that you don't want to be late for.
Absolutely.
So
that's a great idea.
And that's the episode, apparently.
I think that was the longest silence. That was about 2.5 seconds, and I think that was the longest silence we've ever experienced on the
You should rewind
couch.
And listen to that nothingness again, because it won't happen again.
Oh. Well, okay, so we covered what to do if you're dealing with a person who's late, what to do if you are the person who's late, and sort of tactics to address both. Did we leave anything out?
Well, not in those regards, but we did. You did say once that it can't hurt to be early, and it might hurt to be late.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder about that. I mean, if I think it's bad to be late for something, what if someone who's just got a different mindset or a different lifestyle thinks it's bad to be early?
I suppose that could be true. I think I was making a gross generalization and thanks for checking me on it.
I didn't intend to check you. It's just a new idea that occurred to me. Maybe it's not bad that some people are always late. Maybe the issue is just how the late people and the punctual people deal with each other. I think it's rude, but maybe it's not just rude. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I had a situation one time where I was on my way somewhere and I knew that I was going to be about, I think, 15 minutes late. And if I'm going to be more than 5 minutes late, I call. That's my policy.
That's nice.
Yeah, or I text or something.
Yeah.
So I called this person to tell them that I was running more than 5 minutes late, and the person said, "Oh, you didn't have to call. I would have thought nothing of it."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Oh, well, okay. I mean, I thought I was just giving the person the courtesy of letting them know when I was going to show up, but they didn't care."
And some people would be offended if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to know. I guess it's on a case-by-case basis. But I don't know. I think when in doubt, if you're going to be late, usually people won't be mad if you call and say, "Hey, I'm running 5, 10, 15 minutes late. I just wanted to let you know so you weren't wondering what happened to me." I think it's better to err on the side of giving them too much
courtesy,
information and giving them the courtesy than to just show up late and hope that they forgive you.
But at the same time, if you call them when you're 5 minutes late, every single time and you're late every single time and calling them every single time, then they'll get sick of that too. Why are you calling to tell me? I know you're going to be 5 minutes late. You're always 5 minutes late.
How about they might say, how about instead of calling you, don't be late next time.
Okay. Yeah. You know, in other words, it's polite and it's a courtesy to, but it's just like icing on the cake or icing on the crappy cake because it's not fixing anything. You're still late. If you're late all the time, you can be as nice about it as you want and you're still not taking into consideration the other people's times,
yeah.
Or every time you call and apologize, like we had this about apologies.
Right.
If you apologize every time,
yeah, I suppose that's true. And
I guess the same could be said for people who are chronically early, because if you show up to,
do you know anyone who's chronically early?
No,
I don't know
just,
anyone
just
like that.
Philosophically speaking, I think it's the same thing. If you show up to someone's house early for dinner every time, and they're not prepared for you, well, you said you'd be there at 6 and you're there at 5:30, so that's not necessarily the right, you know, a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And when you said what you said before about it being bad to be early in some circumstances, I guess that's actually true, because I thought of a few instances where it could be bad to be early. Like one was, for instance, at my workplace, we have a meeting every week in a certain room. And sometimes if we show up early, then there's someone using the room before us, and we have to just wait outside the door, and we can't really do anything productive at that time.
Yeah.
So in that instance, it's kind of wasting our time to be early. And then another one is that, like you just mentioned, if you have a social obligation or social, not obligation, why I said that, if you have, you're doing something social, and you show up earlier than you said to, say, a party or a dinner party, well, you know, maybe that person's still cleaning up, or they're still getting ready, and they don't want a guest before the party starts.
Or, you know, you might even arrive slightly early and, you know, interrupt the person having sex or something when they're totally not expecting you to be there.
Yeah, that just seems like an out-of-this-world scenario.
It's hard to imagine that could ever happen.
No, it's really hard to imagine. That never happens in real life.
Although, maybe that's a reason you'd want to be early, to try and interrupt someone having sex.
That could be a reason. All right, this is getting into the realm of the ridiculous, quickly degenerating. Is there anything else we want to say about punctuality?
I don't think so, but you just came up with the title of this episode.
Punky porcupines.
Well, no.
Always late. Is that it?
Porcuality.
Porcuality.
Yeah, thank you all for listening.
That sounds dirty.
Porcuality with a C.
That's right. Well, if you email us our questions, you better be on time.
Yeah.
If we don't get your questions on time, we're never going to make another episode again. No, I'm just kidding.
So
you can email us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
Or if you go to our...
As we said numerous times, it's pork with a C.
If you go to facebook.porktherapy.com, you could post your question in either on the wall or in the discussion area.
Yeah.
Or
you can chat us if you really wanted to.
Yeah,
if you wanted to get us live.
You can also become our fan. And where else can they find us?
Twitter.
Twitter.porktherapy.com.
Maybe we just said
And that. If you want to, if you haven't yet, you can subscribe to this podcast in iTunes.
That's right.
It wouldn't hurt us anyway to go up and give us a good review.
That's right. And ladies, remember, and guys, if you go on a date with Mike.
And small dogs.
If you go out on a date with Mike and you say you're going to pick him up at 8, you better be there at 7:58. Just
if
ready.
If they're there 2 minutes early, they might catch me having sex.
They
with
might.
Myself.
Oh, God. Cleaning the pipes. For your big date with the listeners. Well,
but 8 o'clock which day?
Well, of course, tomorrow, because you're free tomorrow.
Oh, I'm free tomorrow. Good.
And all you have to do is email him at mike@porktherapy.com if you want to ask him out on a date. But
and if you
like
want to find
said,
out what if you want to find out what I'd like for gifts, you can email Stephanie@porktherapy.com and ask her.
That's right. You should definitely ask me for advice before you butter up to Mike.
How'd you know I wanted butter?
Are you going to put it all over your body and then sit on the roof like Kramer on Seinfeld? Something smells like bacon. Giddy up. And that's where we're going to end this show. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you next time. Or you'll hear us next time or something.
We won't be late in posting our next episode.
Bye.
Bye.